Today we have Mithali Parekh on the show with us. She's an engineer turned entrepreneur turned marketer, but she's always a consumer first innovator. Mithali has 6 years of experience in Indian FMCG industry, spanning across sales, marketing, and innovative roles. She's currently leading innovation for Pampers brand within the baby care category in India for P&G. In this episode, she shares her views about pursuing MBA directly after graduation or gaining some experience first, the value of this experience while you are applying for jobs after MBA, also ways you would switch from sales to marketing, the skills that an FMCG company looks for in a candidate, and a great story of winning a competition in college and landing her first job, and much more. So let's listen to Mithali and understand her journey.
We are three friends who are talking and learning from interesting people working in various industries, sharing their stories and journeys so far. These are your hosts,
Hiloni Puladar,
Atit Kothari,
and Tapan Desai.
And this is What the Hat. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any episodes.
We are in fact excited to have you here. I mean, with the kind of journey that you've had, there is so much that we want to learn, probably me personally, and I'm sure all of our listeners as well.
Okay, so that's very kind, and I'm genuinely very excited to share whatever little I have learned along the way. And honestly, I'm still learning, so I hope the tidbits that I share are helpful for people listening in.
Absolutely. Let's just dive in and start from the very beginning. Like after engineering, during engineering, you also had your entrepreneurial startup, which you were kind of doing. And then from there, what led you to like choosing the path of MBA?
Honestly, for me, I think it was a fortunate alignment of what I was interested in, where I was able to build my capabilities, and what were the available opportunities. To be honest, I'm somebody who is very meticulous. I like planning, and I genuinely believe in the power of planning for success. But at the same time, I give credit to the fact that there is a lot that happens in your external environment, which will have a play on how projects you've taken up will go forward or how your career moves will happen. So one thing that I also learned is while you plan for success, please be open and go with the flow. Because situations are only going to teach you what to do. So for example, when I was in engineering, I remember distinctly in semester 4, semester 5, I realized that I'm good at what I'm doing. I was a straight A student. I enjoyed studying. I enjoyed understanding technology, but I knew that I didn't really have the skill set to be able to run at the back end of the same. I knew that I wasn't somebody who would be able to develop new technologies, or I didn't have a very strong interest in, say, coding or robotics. And that's when I really took up extracurricular activities, and I started working as a sponsorship, like in the assistant committee of sponsorship for cultural and the technical festivals for DJ Sanghvi College. And the next year, I continued to take that forward. And that gave me an opportunity to engage with a lot of brand managers. And that's when it started opening my mind to the possibilities of whether I could take up a career in marketing. That's when I pivoted and I said, okay, I'm going to continue to participate in extracurricular activities. I'll really continue to try hard and like pass with distinction, but I wanted to switch soon to a marketing profession. And that's when I applied for my MBA, took all the exams, and straight as a fresher, I joined SPGen. SPGen, Institute of Management and Research, is a Mumbai-based MBA college. It currently ranks in the top 10 B schools in India. So I pursued my MBA majoring in sales and marketing there. And post that, I joined L'Oreal. So for me, there was one big pivot, which was going from sort of the tech field to the marketing field. And the other pivot, honestly, was like, this is the best time to do it, which was when I started this startup brand of designer bags. This was in my just about end of seventh semester when my project, the project application we have for your last year of engineering was going well. And I knew I had a little bit free time because my B-school applications, etc., entrance exams, everything was done. I've always been a very creative person and I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy doing sales pitches, which is primarily what we did as a sponsorship lead for these festivals. And that's when I gave this an outlet. I was fortunate to have an elder sister who was very creative. So basically together between my sister and I, we started this brand called the Peacock Plume. It was a brand of designer handbags, which did not use leather because, you know, it was against our ethics, etc. And we started from selling in exhibitions. And over the span of 3 years, I think we designed 200 products. I remember myself doing sales pitches and face-to-face selling in exhibitions in like 50-odd exhibitions. And we were just at the inflection point of small e-commerce sites which were selling fashion products. And I started learning doing digital marketing. I ran like a Facebook ad campaign back in 2013. It was a lot of great learnings. That's how we exited. The main reason for us to exit was also both my sister and I were going into full-time jobs after the closure of our MBA. And we knew that we wouldn't have the bandwidth, mainly because my sister was going to be overseas and I was going to be in India. So that's when we, after 3 years, our high point was that we were listed on Amazon as sellers and we were talking to Flipkart as sellers as well. But we didn't see that through because we didn't have the bandwidth. So those were the two main sort of pivot points, I can say, for me in my educational and professional career so far.
So generally when a lot of people take up MBA courses, they have like this primary requirement or they generally recommend having at least like some years of work experience, at least a 2 to 3 year work experience. So you dive directly from engineering into your MBA. Did that like impact your experience or would you probably still do the same if you had the chance?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's also a very frequently asked question. I myself as a student found myself just thinking about whether I should do it now as a fresher or after gaining 1 to 3 years of relevant experience. I honestly think there's no cookie cut answer to this. It is very subjective and there's no right or wrong way to do it. Maybe I can share what I observed as a fresher, what was my experience. And I made friends who were individuals with experience and my understanding of what their takeaways was. As a fresher, it was a great deep dive for me into real business challenges, especially since I didn't come from a commerce background. So understanding the basics of macroeconomics, understanding accounting, understanding operations, supply chain management, HR, marketing was still a little bit more intuitive, but all these other fields we don't really have background to because we've never done it during our engineering 4 years. Secondly, it is about really becoming more independent, maturing through the experience. And another big input was you learn to work with team because majority of your MBA assignments are going to be group work exercises. And when you learn to work with people from diverse backgrounds, diverse states, diverse experiences, you understand how to bring out the best in every team member and make that submission happen. And majority of your submissions, you're going to be working on 5 different assignments at the same time. You're going to be time crunched. You're going to be sleep deprived. This is the reality. But you will learn how to do it. EOD, like end of day submissions, will become the norm for you. So for me, all these were very novel experiences. And I'm sure for a fresher who probably moves abroad or to another state in India for their MBA, it would bring an additional layer because you're completely independent. You don't really have family. So it's a lot about growing out of your shell. And I've seen this happen a lot because now at PNG, I have interviewed candidates for the internship programs at PNG. And I've interacted with a lot of B-School students who tell me they're freshers or they're people with work experience, but all their lives they've worked in different cities or states. So they come with a very different perspective. So from a perspective, broadening perspective, real life business challenges and working with teams. These three reasons were very new for me as a fresher. If I try to imagine how it is for an individual who comes with work experience, different people have different backgrounds. But for example, for somebody, they would take great pride in the fact that, hey, I worked for 2 years and I saved enough and I took an education loan and now I'm doing my MBA. So I'm self-funding my MBA. So I think that's a great sense of fulfillment for yourself. Secondly, people also come after working for a few years for their MBA. Primarily, maybe they want to switch their careers. They want to switch the stream they are in. Let's look at a common example. You're an IT engineer from, say, a leading engineering college in Mumbai. You probably got placed with, say, Accenture or, say, TCS. You worked with them for 2 years. And now you think that you really are interested in finance. But you know that maybe an investment banking firm or a private equity firm is not going to hire you straight off the bat, right? And that's when you consider an MBA is a great time for you to build that experience, build that expertise. Some people do it through the CFA route. So it will vary, but both cases are perfectly fine. Maybe your decision on which B schools you want to apply to may alter depending on how much experience you have or you don't have and where you see yourself post MBA. So I would recommend keeping these things in mind.
And in terms of like jobs after MBA, does it impact if you have experience prior to joining the program or like you're a fresher, like does it impact your chances?
Got it. So my knowledge on this could be a little outdated because I was in this position about 6 years ago when I was sitting for placements. But the norm usually is that when consulting companies from the Big Four are recruiting, they tend to hire people who have prior experience and have then done their MBA. However, I'm a fresher and a lot of the candidates with me who were management trainees at L'Oreal's management trainee program and at PNG also I'm observing, they have a healthy mix of freshers as well as individuals with experience because there are individuals, for example, who have worked at, say, Microsoft or who have worked at Accenture or Ernst & Young and then done their MBA in marketing and then an FMCG company is recruiting them. So they don't have bang-on relevant experience. But as a recruiter, what I can share with you is when we are recruiting, we are trying to understand the skill set, the personality, and demonstrated experience of a candidate. They could have demonstrated leadership. They could have demonstrated ability to champion productivity through their experience at a Microsoft. They didn't necessarily have to work at a PNG before to demonstrate the same. So basically, if an individual has experience, I think the encounters that they can mention in their interview where they've demonstrated this experience, that increases. Having said that, even individuals without experience, for example, for me in my interviews with L'Oreal and my interviews for different B-schools I was applying for, there was a lot of conversation about my startup, what I did, why I did, how I pivoted, what is the exit strategy? Why is there an exit strategy? Why do you want to do an MBA? So it's not really a stress interview question. It is simply to understand what is the approach of this individual. So going back to the question, yes, I think it, with consulting companies and maybe with finance companies, it's preferred to have experience. For sales and marketing roles in FMCG companies, e-commerce companies, I don't think it's a limiting criteria.
Also, like I remember, I think in my last year or something, I had done like one of these surveys or some study with you and you'd called me down for an interview for L'Oreal. So I just want to know more about your journey as to from winning like a competition in FSP Gen to getting the internship to like converting it full time. How was that for L'Oreal and you?
Sure. So another great part when you're in a B school is a lot of companies tend to have these case study competitions that they want students to participate in. And across the board, different companies across industries run these competitions, from TAS running it to L'Oreal has its L'Oreal Brandstorm, Unilever has Unilever's Lime. Different companies run these competitions where B school students apply with their solutions to the case study, and it becomes a great inroad for companies to recruit interns or potentially permanent hires through these programs. So that's one advice I would also give to a lot of aspiring B-school students or currently students in B-schools. Please participate in these competitions. What's the worst is going to happen is that you will not win, but at least you will practice the strategy frameworks you've learned in class to solve those real business problems. Now, taking my own example, two of my friends from SPJN and I participated in L'Oreal's International Marketing Case Study Competition. It's called Brandstorm. It's been running for over 25 years now. We were given a real business challenge to come up with a new product or product range in the hair care category for women in Southeast Asia. And that's when we found it to be very interesting. And we basically started with talking to like 40 plus, more than 40 women in India itself in different cities. And one of our teammates actually was in Singapore doing an internship. So he was able to talk to a lot of women from, say, Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia, who were also studying in Singapore back then. So through a lot of primary research, we came up with a consumer insight. We recommended a new product range and the whole communication strategy behind it. And we won the campus finals, the region finals, and then we got a chance to represent India at the international finals. And fortunately for us, we were team number one. Team number two was from Greece, and team number three was from France. So as a byproduct of winning the international competition, we got to take a trip anywhere in the world with a sum of around I think it was 10,000 euros. And the other one was that all three of us got an internship at L'Oreal. So I didn't really sit for any internship placements during my B-school time, one of the most dreaded and scary phase of being in B-school. But we didn't have to go through that. And I interned with L'Oreal for 2 months. And they liked my work and they offered a pre-placement interview to me. I interviewed again, and that's how I converted it into a final placement offer. So that's how it worked out for me. And a lot of my batchmates from SPGen and other B schools were also able to get great roles. Some even got like final placement offers, and most got internship offers through being winners or even first runners up in these company-led case study competitions. So it's a great opportunity to take up.
Yeah, it feels like a no-brainer. Like there's only upside, right? Participating in all this. Where did you guys get to go when you were presenting, when you got selected?
So the international finals always happen in France, and they do it in this beautiful chateau or one of these iconic properties. So we presented at like an opera house sort of a setting, if I'm not wrong. And as winners, we can choose anywhere in the world. The great thing is that they really believed in the power of like team bonding, which is why they said, okay, they would not just write a check to people and you can encash it or you can do whatever with it. They said, we will sponsor a trip, you choose anywhere in the world. So we were confused between doing a Euro trip or visiting the US. And we decided to visit the US. So I think that was the last time I visited the US as well. And I hope to visit again soon. So it was a great experience for all three of us.
So what is your role now?
So I'm the brand director for constructive disruption projects for the baby care category for the Indian subcontinent. So the brand is called Pampers.
People don't ask why often, why are they doing something, or like what's the end goal? So I think it's called the 5-5 technique, 5-Y technique, like the root cause analysis. You go to the very base and find out why are you doing something.
Yeah, and this was like in continuity to this I think all my bosses along the way at both P&G as well as L'Oreal in sales and marketing functions have encouraged this habit the most to all team members, no matter how senior or junior you are, is to ask whys, not just to your consumers, but also internally when you are trying to question, say, a trade spend that is recommended to you by somebody in the team that you should run 20% discount on this particular SKU in this month. But why should we do it? What sort of peak in sales are we going to get? Will our average drop in the next month below this? Then it's not serving any purpose. Is it going to help us improve penetration? Is it going to help us get the same consumer to consume more because you're giving a higher quantity at a discount, etc.? So the more you ask, the better it is. The 5-I technique, bang on. Additionally, a similar advice is that please ask questions early on in your career. A lot of people, and all of us honestly, have felt slightly scared to ask questions because we feel we will be judged, we will be mocked, etc. I think that bias is in everybody's minds. But it is beautiful when you ask a question and 10 others in the room have the same question, and you're not only solving your own doubt, but also 10 others. And I've had so many instances where I've asked a question, I've gotten a response, and like in the tea break, 5 of my other colleagues come and, you know, we start discussing, oh, I was facing the same problem on my brand. How did you go about it? Can we share and reapply? It's a great conversation starter. And the sooner you do it in your career, the better it is, because it helps get your fundamentals strong. And you will then not feel shy in the future to ask questions.
So I had a question. You said you interview candidates for a job. So like, just summarizing what I learned from the entire conversation till now, like, you assess data, you analyze data, you look for communication, then you look for digital marketing. Like, what are other skills that you would look for in a candidate you are interviewing?
First, I'll just state generically what I think people look for. Usually, if it's not a specialist role or if it is an entry-level job, for example, for a management trainee or an intern for the B-school students, it is about understanding their current skill set, understanding personality fit with the organization. Super important and very underplayed usually. And people have been like, I have been at the other end of the spectrum, right? And I used to think that I'm just going to read the purpose, value, principles, or the mission, vision, statement of the organization and try to understand what is the DNA of this organization and hence interview accordingly. Like, Google is one of those examples where they look for that Google factor in people and nobody has been able to decode what this factor is. So please don't fake it till you make it in these cases. Be very true to yourself. Be extremely honest about who you are as a person. What are the principles you believe in? There will be times that you will be asked questions where, say, you are in a moral dilemma. What will you do? People are not trying to judge you. They're trying to understand how you would approach this situation.
At least starting with the internship in L'Oreal, I remember that you had initially started as a in terms of sales. I think that's what I'd asked you as to what is your role at that point of time. And you told me it's basically learning. And for the next 2 years, you were going to do more sales to understand the company, understand the consumers on the one-on-one basis, and then move to like a probably marketing role. So how's your sales journey been? What has it shaped you up as? And also, being in a sales role in India, has it been different for you?
Okay. So this is the advice I had gotten from alumni and seniors who spoke to us about how we should go forward with a career in marketing, at least in India. And the standard advice is that always have at least 2 years of fundamentals in sales done early on in your career, because it helps you set a strong understanding of go-to-market when you go into the marketing side. Similarly, when I joined L'Oreal as a management trainee, we did 6 months of sales, 6 months of marketing. These were pure learn on the job roles, but with slightly lesser accountability than we would have had I been leading the region completely myself. So in totality, I landed up doing close to 2 years of sales while I was at L'Oreal. When you do sales, especially in an FMCG category in India, you learn on the ground realities like you have never learned before. You learn the entire value chain right from the products being built from the warehouse that the company has to making it reach the distributor point to a sub-distributor point in case of smaller towns and eventually to retailers. In addition to learning this value chain, the most important thing that you are tracking is your sales fundamentals. What were the value sales you delivered in the month? What were the volume sales? How much percentage trade spends were done? Did you achieve your target? How many stores you covered? So on and so forth. And it gets even more detailed depending upon the company and the category. So it's a great time for you to understand dhanda. Or it's a great time for you to understand business kaise karna hai, maal kaise pahunchega, time pe pahunchega ki nahi, discount kata hai ki nahi, so on and so forth. So it is a super exciting time because you are working with a time with a clock of 30 days or 31 days. So every month you start fresh on the first, you have your targets for the month. And it's not a plush job sitting in your chair in office. You have to work very closely with people who are retailers, who are store owners, who are chain owners, who are buyers at like a big bazaar, or even your salesmen who are probably only educated till the age that they were 16 and beyond that, they don't have a strong quantitative understanding. So how do you convince them to ensure that they are covering every product in their call? How to ensure you're communicating every offer? So like end-to-end management is what you will learn when you are in the sales role. It can be strenuous. It can be stressful at times in the beginning when you're just learning, where you feel there is so many things to keep a track of. But once you get into the flow of it, it can be a very rewarding and exciting journey. And people who have built long-term sales careers, my learning from them has been that they understand go-to-market like nobody else does. Tomorrow, if you tell them that I need to launch this product under this brand in these SKUs, they can immediately imagine what the implications will be, which shelf will this be stocked at, how many facings should you require, in which store where you sell this much output, how much stock you should be placing in year one, or sorry, in month one, how much visibility you will get. So you get to see sort of my analogy of this in my first year of working was sort of marketing ensures that consumers come to the store to see your product. Sales needs to ensure that the product is available on the shelf when a consumer walks in. So both work in tandem. One without the other is incomplete. And hence my recommendation is that experiencing sales at any point in your career is a great idea. If it is early on, fantastic.
That puts once and for all the, you know, difference. Now, no one should have any problem. That analogy was pretty amazing. I think even I had a confusion between like, what is sales, marketing, where's the line?
Yeah. This has been my personal experience, and I know some of my female colleagues faced it as well. Sometimes being a woman in sales is difficult. It has a large part to play because more often than not, we have seen men who are area sales managers or sales executives or buyers at the retailer's end. So they find it firstly very surprising that a woman is doing this job. Secondly, people think it's a physically strenuous job, especially when you are in certain states or cities wherein you have to travel far and by to reach different retailers if you have a wide geographical coverage. And thirdly, it's a lot about women being considered to not be as aggressive about sales targets or being not as assertive. And these are all three of them are myths. If I can just put it down and, nip the bud, as they say, at the beginning itself. So I would just encourage women when they are taking up sales roles. For some of them, it could be daunting. You may get nervous, but don't worry. You will also get into the flow of things. You will manage your life and get into the groove of sales super soon, so don't worry about it. And another advice is actually for B school grads, because it's a very commonly faced problem. What happens is sales as a field is also one where we call rankers. There are a lot of people who have done sales all their lives. Maybe they've not done an MBA, but they've done sales for like 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And they may still be at a junior position. They may be like a salesman or a sales executive. So tomorrow, when a fresh out of B-school grad becomes their boss or their boss's boss, you will face a little bit of an imposter syndrome. You will feel that, do I belong here? I don't have so much on job or in field sales. These guys know all the retailers here. They have such a good relationship and I have none of that. How do I expect these people to listen to me? Be it a male or a female manager, but basically a fresh out of B school. So this is a problem also me and my batchmates faced. And my advice over there is that it's a tightrope that you're treading in the beginning. Be very careful in the sense that don't be too authoritative or don't be like, I know everything and I have learned all these fundamentals. Because the reward you will get is ke aapne jo bhi kiya apne laptop aur Excel pe kiya hai, on the job jab maal bechna hai aur paisa nikalwana hai, wo hume aata hai. So respect their experience. There's a lot to learn from them. The way they do relationship building with their retailers is unparalleled. And at the same time, try to contribute to their growth. Try to contribute to their learning. So it's more of a give and take relationship rather than a subordinate and a senior relationship. So try to bring your analytical skills to simplify his procedure and say, hey, I did the math and I saw that in his this month's sales are 20% lower than the past quarter's average. So what is going wrong? Why don't you review it? Versus saying, arey maal kyun nahi becha, you are not doing your job, etc. To put it in very simplistic language.
Newton said, if I have seen the future, it is by standing on shoulders of the giants. We bring to you these giants in the life of our guests. Our next segment is Top 3, a curated list of top 3 recommendations from our guests.
And we'd start with, firstly, which are your top 3 book recommendations and which is one book that you have gifted the most?
Okay. So first, full disclosure, I have not been a very voracious reader in the recent past. And it's something I'm very guilty about. But having said that, I really jogged my memory and I noted down the books I'd read in the past and I enjoyed the most. So I'm going to tell you about them. Yeah, the first one was The Unusual Billionaires by Saurabh Mukherjee. I think he had covered around 8 companies that he had observed over the span of at least 10 plus years, which showed consistent revenue growth and consistent performance in terms of returns. I had especially enjoyed his examples on Asian Paints and Marico. And Marico especially was known to champion innovation and transition from a promoter-led sort of a family business to a more corporate way of working. So this was one book. The second book that I had written was, the second book is not really corporate or business related. It is Don't Lose Your Mind, Lose Your Weight by Rujuta Devekar. So she is a well-known leading nutritionist in India. Growing up, I have been a chubby kid. So I used to always be very confused about what to eat, what not to eat. And I have been guilty of trying those fad diets. When I read this book, it helped me understand food. So it helped me with simple principles to follow through the rest of your life, which can help you maintain a healthy and fit lifestyle. So that's a book I recommend. It busts a lot of myths about ghee is good for you. You should eat ghee. What is the real difference between white rice and brown rice? Should I not eat fruits after sunset? Should I follow keto diet, GM diet, so on and so forth? So it's a great book, very easy read. And it also had, I remember, some like diet worksheets that you can plan for yourself and always fall back on. The third one is actually a book that I have been gifted or recommended by my seniors at PNG, and I've started reading them, but I haven't finished them. But the little that I have read, I recommend people to read it. The first one is Getting Things Done by David Allen. The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. So basically, I find this book helpful because it gives you a lot of frameworks of what to do in order to champion productivity, and so that you don't find yourself constantly feeling over weekends that I need to finish my work, or when you're working, you feel guilty about not giving enough time to your family. So this is a great book. And another book that I have been gifted by my own boss, and I'm trying to finish reading it, is The Lean Startup by Eric Ries, a book I mentioned previously. And the last book is actually gifted to me by my father-in-law, so it's a very special book for me. It's called Pick 3 by Randy Zuckerberg. So it's basically, I've read the first few chapters on this, and it's very interesting because her principle is that it's perfectly fine to have a lopsided life. So, for example, you have 5 things to choose from: sleep, work, friends, fitness, and family. In her experience, she's been able to say, okay, these 3 days of the week, I'm going to pick my top 3 being work, sleep, and say family, for example. On weekends, I will only choose, say, family and friends. So unlike what people think, work-life balance, X hours you're at work, Y hours you're pursuing fitness, Z hours you're with your family. Her approach is quite refreshing. And I think it's also a New York Times bestseller. Again, very easy read and very easy to sort of practice in your real life and see if it works for you.
Nice. So, next question. Top 3 movie TV show recommendations.
Yeah, I am a big content consumer. I love watching stuff in my free time, or if I want to just, stress relief, etc. But I try to choose some movies as well as series which could have some sort of help in like your professional life or your academic life. So the first one is like a cult favorite, The Shark Tank. I think I've seen all the seasons. It's very interesting. I love the camaraderie that the judges have. But more importantly, I went back and researched a little bit more about it, and I understand that they probably show, say, anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes per pitch in the actual episode. But each pitch lines up probably being at least 1.5 to sometimes 3 hours long. So what I took away from the show, apart from obviously understanding the very basics of valuation and the different ways by which somebody can invest in your company, the other things that I learned was that what are the main questions to ask? Because the main questions is what they will show viewers like us. So when you are assessing a business or when you are assessing an idea, what are the key things you should keep your eyes and ears open to? And of course, I also like it purely for the width of ideas that people have and the different backgrounds that they come from, and still they come up with such inspiring stories of their startups. So that's one series I would recommend. And 2 movies that I saw relatively recently. One was The Founder, which was the story behind how McDonald's came to life. And it was not a very rosy story of a person who owned McDonald's and then expanded it, but it was somebody who was a salesman and then he sort of took one franchise and then he expanded it. May not be the best movie in terms of ethics in business, but interesting because he was a really aggressive salesman and how he went about it. And the other movie, sorry, is not recent, but it's an all-time favorite, is The Pursuit of Happiness. So I loved Will Smith's role in it, and I loved the perseverance he showed. And it's just a great feel-good book when you're feeling down in the dumps and you just can't see a way forward. You see that movie and it really like inspires you and reassures you that things will be okay. You need to keep on working hard.
And I actually wanted to add one more thing, since you are so much pro-gender equality, which are three women leaders that you follow yourself and who have inspired you, or you keep going back to like learning about them more. Like, is Imran Nui something that you kind of foresee yourself becoming?
So I really don't think I can be anywhere close to her, but I will answer Hiloni's question first, because I have the answer ready sort of in my mind. So the first was Indra Nooyi, and growing up I was a big fan of Pepsi, just generally as a consumer of Pepsi, but when I came to know about Indra Nooyi and her story and how she's been able to manage her family and be amongst the top known CEOs of a major company like PepsiCo, she was super inspiring for me. I follow her on LinkedIn as well, and I try to see some excerpts that she shares sometimes. The second one is actually something that Hiloni and I had spoken about, and I had put that in my list of docu-series if I could recommend, but I sort of put it a little later and I didn't mention it, was the series on RBG. So she's an amazing leader, and how she, her journey of how she came into power, like as the second sort of, I'm forgetting the right fact, but as a second leader in the Supreme Court for the US was amazing. And like, when I saw that, honestly, I'd read about her and I'd read quotes, but when I saw the documentary movie on Netflix, it really brought it to life for me, because she fought for the most fundamental things that I don't think people in our generation or people born after the 1980s also were aware of, that these inequalities don't just exist in a country like India, which is perceived to be more patriarchal. They have existing in other countries, for example, the US as well. So I think that's a must watch for both men and women. And on this point, I wanted to share, the more I read about this topic, the more I see it's important for both men and women to watch this, to read about similar stories, to sort of be champions of this cause together. And it's not in the sense that it's just women who need to fight for their rights or women who need to stand up for their opinions. I think if there is just an acknowledgement from most men to state that there are a majority of the things both men and women can do equally well, if there is acknowledgement of the fact that yes, today women are paid less versus men for similar or even greater work, and if there is acknowledgement of the fact that some of the companies, the way they are run, the way their HR policies are not very supportive of a woman who may be shouldering more domestic responsibilities. For example, maternity leave spans across 2 months to 1 year in different parts of the world. Why isn't there like a standard policy of at least 6 months across companies? And when I say companies, I mean medium and small scale enterprises as well, which is something very novel for people. I think these two are the big ones for me. But I mean, every now and then I'm reading about so many women leaders coming in, like under 40, under top 40 in India, or even like globally, Citibank's first female CEO, etc. So it's very inspiring, and fingers crossed, I hope we can continue the momentum on this. And the supporters of this need to be both men and women, in my opinion.
I really like how you so rightly put that it's just not one gender's journey to take it ahead, but an equal journey from both the genders to kind of bring this topic into light. I mean, there is enough light shed into it, but more actionable things that both the genders can do.